Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read a few verses here this morning. Let you be seated. And thankful for who God has made us. Amen. It says in Matthew 11 and 1, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Praise God. I want to talk to us a few moments on this thought. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you today for this word. We thank you, Lord, for the encouragement and faith that it brings. Let our ears be ready to hear what the Spirit would say. Let our hearts be ready to receive it. And let us be changed and made better by it today. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Clap your hands real good to the Lord before you're seated. God's good. Thankful for him this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. God bless you. Remember who you are. I don't think there's the story of John the Baptist is a great identity story because it helps you with two identities. It'll help you with the identity of him, the Christ, the Son of the living God. It'll help you understand who he is, but it also helps you understand who you are. When you put yourself in the place of John and realize the things that Jesus said about John and the things that he naturally just, he knew about himself. John was not, there was a point in time at least where he wasn't unsure of who he was because he preached the word of God with boldness. He knew that he was sent and called by the Lord. And John was a prophet. Jesus said of him, but he's much more than a prophet. Right. A little side note right here. You're a lot more as important as your calling is. You are much more than your calling. Don't let your calling, even your ministry, just consume you to the point that it's not doing what it's supposed to do, because you are much more than your calling. He was much more than a prophet. I'm much more than a pastor. I am his child. I am a son of the King, and there's things and promises that belong to me because of that. I have a calling on my life to do this, and so there are duties and responsibilities with that, but that should not completely define who I am. Jesus sees you much more than other people will see you. A lot of people will see you for just the calling that's on your life. They'll see you for the card that you carry, for the certificate that hangs on your wall. But Jesus knows you are much more than that, and you mean much more to him than just your calling. Right. Praise God. It's important. We need it. We need that calling, and there's a ministry that God has ordained, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. We know all this as workers for the kingdom. And helps in the body. We know all of that. Very important. Got to have that. We need that. We need that commitment and faithfulness to the work of God. But we are much more than the calling. We are much more than the work. But Jesus said John was much more than a prophet. One place he said, "This is he of whom it is written, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And then he made the comment that those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Jesus made some great statements about John. John knew about those statements. Other people knew about those statements. They would question who John was. Was he the Christ? But of course, John would say, I am not the Christ, but I am he that is sent before him. And so John knew this. He would make statements to tell people who he was, that Jesus or that the Lord had sent me to baptize with water. That same one said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And it was John that stood up and pointed out to his disciples, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There was a time that John had no questions about who he was, and he didn't question who God was. He knew who he was. He had these identities solidified in his life. It's something that you and I have got to make sure we have straight too. We have to know him. We've got to know who he is. We can't be confused about that. We don't want to be confused about who we serve, who we belong to, and what he's done for us. I've said this many times. Know who you are and know whose you are. Know who you belong to. Know who paid the price for you. And John knew that. And he said actually in one place that he must increase. Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. I understand who he is and who I am. And I understand the roles that are being now played out here in this world. But now we read this story about John, this man who was greater than any prophet that we could think of. He was much more than a prophet, Jesus said. He was the baptizer. He was the wild man in the wilderness. He was the one calling out the Pharisees and the scribes and calling them serpents and vipers. And he was baptizing people and preaching fire. I mean, he was turning the world upside down in his own way at that time. He was not afraid to stand in against rulers. He had told Herod that it is not okay for you to have your brother's wife. He stood up against that. He didn't. It was that very act that actually landed him in prison. But he was not afraid to say it's not right, it's not lawful, it's not right in the sight of God. But now, as John has spent some time away from the Jordan, away from the wilderness, there's no locust and honey and things like that. I don't know what they're feeding him with in prison, but he's in prison and he's by himself. The multitudes are not there. There's nobody asking him. He's not talking about the Christ. He's not pointing out, here he comes. He's not seeing doves descending on people. He's not hearing voices out of heaven right now, but he's in prison and he hears the murmurings and the rumblings that any day he could lose his life. John is now in prison. How did I end up here? I know who he is. I know who I serve and I know who I am to him. Is this where the forerunner ends up? Is this how the messenger, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, is meant to spend his last days? Or am I that one? And is he that one? Now the questions begin. A couple of disciples, maybe that's all that were left of his that were hanging around, but he sent two of them to say, you go ask him, are you the one that we're looking for, or do we look for another? Well, all he would have to do, and he could answer the question himself. Think back, John, to where you stood in the river with him. And when you buried him in water and he came up, you saw the Spirit descending like a dove and you heard the voice, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This has already happened. Don't let what you're going through forget what you know. Come on. Don't let when you find yourself, even because of your calling, if it puts you in a rock in a hard place, if it puts you in that desert place, if it puts you in that lonely place, don't let that stop you from understanding and knowing and believing who you are, who He is, that you do have a call on your life, and you don't have to start looking around for something else in the middle of your prison. Do we look for another? Or do we keep our eyes on Him? A lot of people start looking for another way out, another Savior, another plan, another ministry, another calling, another place. They get in a little dry spell, and they start looking on the internet for another place to go. They start looking on social media for somewhere else to go because it's hard where they are right now. But I'm telling you that God has called you to follow Him. And sometimes following Him will lead us into places that maybe our flesh doesn't desire, but it's in the divine will of the King. And as long as I'm in His will, as long as I know who He is, then I'll know who I am. But if I start forgetting who He is, I'm going to start forgetting who I am. John's having an identity crisis. An identity crisis is defined as a period of uncertainty and confusion in which a person's sense of identity becomes insecure. And typically it's due to a change in their expected aims or role in society. And so now John finds himself in this place. He is maybe a little insecure. Something's happened. Things have changed. I'm not standing on the muddy banks of the Jordan. I'm not preaching to the multitudes anymore, but now it's just me alone with my thoughts, just me alone to sit and think and to ponder. I tell you, you have to be careful about that because the enemy will slip right in and start confronting you about who you are. When he found Jesus in the wilderness, he said, "If you are the Son of God," he wanted to start questioning him and get him to question who he was. And get him to maybe begin to obey his command. Turn these rocks into bread. Throw yourself off this temple. Fall down and worship me over and over again, tempting Jesus in the wilderness. And when you can't understand who you are, you'll fail the temptation. Hello? The prison has clouded John's memory on two fronts. John has forgotten who he is. But the scripture tells me that my identity is wrapped up in Christ. Romans 6 tells me I am baptized into Christ. Colossians 3 says my life is hid with Christ. In Colossians 2, I am complete in Him. And 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Just leave that up there for a moment so we can just keep looking at it while I'm preaching for just a moment. There's something that we have to understand that this scripture does not just describe an instantaneous one-time event. But when we become a new creature, we have a new nature. We've got to accept the role of a new creature. A lot of people embrace the new birth, but they don't embrace the new life. But the Bible says when I am baptized into Him that I am buried with Him and then I am raised up to walk, to move, to go somewhere, to live a life, to embrace the new nature. The old nature has passed away, but the new nature has just begun. And we've got to understand that our identity is wrapped up in being a new creature. And the new creature only comes because of Christ. So if I forget Christ, I forget who I am. And some ways we forget Him is when we neglect to study, when we neglect to read, when we don't pray like we should, when we stay out of His house, when we stay out of His presence, when we don't praise. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. And if there's no habitation there because I'm not praising, friend, that's when I start forgetting Christ. I start forgetting Him, then I forget who I am. I forget what He's done. I forget how He made me, shaped me, and turned me into something new. I don't want to have an identity crisis this late in the game. Jesus is coming back in the clouds. Every eye is going to see him. Friend, the signs of the time are lining up everywhere, and he could come at any time. I don't want to forget right here in this day, in this hour, who he is, and I don't want to forget who I am. Come on, somebody. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. I can stand firm on who I am because I can stand firm on who he is. That's the only reason that Paul said, by the grace of God, I am who I am. And I realize that I am nothing without him, and without him I can do nothing, but through him I can do all things. And it is he who has made me, the Bible says, is he who has made us and not we ourselves. God has made us to be who we are. And when I can stand firm on who he is, he's the potter and I'm the clay. I have no problem with his identity and I have no problem with my identity. I can remember who I am. And friend, that is the thought that you're going to have to hang on to in your deepest, darkest hour. When things start going sideways, when you find yourself in that spiritual prison during that spiritual time, things are going haywire in your life, you can always have that peace of God that passes understanding. If you can remember who he is, you'll never forget who you are. Come on, somebody. Clap your hand. Aren't you glad who God made you this morning? I'm glad who God made me. The Bible says, beloved, the saints, he's reminded the beloved, now are we the sons of God. You don't have to raise your hand. Anybody got a little trial going on in your life right now? Now? Right now? Yeah? Anybody got a little sickness in their body now? Now with sickness, now with trouble, now with tribulation, now with trials, now with anything you can come up with, you're still the son of God, the children of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Friend, I'm telling you, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. There's no telling what God's going to make out of you in the middle of this mess, in the middle of your tribulation. God is working. God is doing something for you. So just hang in there. God's going to come through. But don't forget that the storm doesn't erase your identity. That trouble don't erase your identity. Sickness don't erase your identity. A little slip up doesn't erase your identity. If Peter can deny him and preach at Pentecost, somebody's got hope in here today. Hello? What did Jesus tell Peter? Simon, Satan has desired to have you to sift you as wheat. You know what sifting does? It separates you. I've said this before. The devil didn't care about Peter the fisherman, but he was very concerned about Peter the key holder. Right. And if I can sift them keys away from him, if I can sift him and separate him from what Jesus spoke over him, you are Peter. You are that rock. You're a rock. And he was telling Peter, you're blessed because of the revelation you have, and I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. And he said, if I can separate him from the key holder, he'll never be able to stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach that message. He'll never be able to do the things that Jesus sees in him if I can sift him and separate him. But Jesus said, I am praying that your faith doesn't fail. I don't want you to forget who you believed in. I don't want you to forget who you've been following. I don't want you to forget who has washed you and saved you and cared for you and helped you. I don't want you to forget all those things. And if you won't forget that, you won't forget, Peter, who you are. You won't forget that you are the key holder. You're going to deny me, but you won't forget that I gave you the keys. And friends, sometimes we need to realize that we may deny him in our actions. We may deny him in our thoughts. And we may deny him even in our words. But friend, let me tell you, it doesn't change that you're his child. And if you can find that place of repentance and a place of an altar to ask for his forgiveness, he'll say, come on, son, get up and keep going. He'll forgive you, and you can keep on doing what God called you to do. Don't forget that he's not just some big God up there waiting to strike people down, but he is a God of mercy. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. It says it's by the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Friend, they're new every morning. So every day you get up, say, I'm going to do it better. I'm going to get it right because I know who he is and I know who I am. I'm thankful today for who God's made me. And if John can just remember who he is, he won't question who Christ is. He won't be saying, should I be looking for another? I know this got a generation of young people in here that grew up with the Lion King, the original, the cartoon, not the Broadway and not that new live action, but the good old cartoon. There's a place, and if you don't know the story, shame on you. You ought to watch this. Really good. But Simba is the heir to the kingdom. When Mufasa dies, Simba runs away, starts just living a life below who he's supposed to be. But he grieves his father. He misses his father, and one time this monkey leads him, ain't this a good Bible study right here? This monkey leads him to the pool of water and says, I know where your father is right here. And he looks and he says, that's just a reflection of me. And he says, I'll look closer. And in this moment, Simba begins to see the face of his father and the clouds start rolling and he sees a vision. And he looks up and it's his dad, Mufasa's in the cloud. And the first thing that Mufasa says to him, his father says, you have forgotten me. Oh, I could never forget you. He said, you have forgotten who you are. And in turn, you have forgotten who I am. When we forget the great work that our Father has done in our life, then we will forget him. When we forget who we are, friend, then we will begin to forget him. The memory will begin to fade. But when I can remember, oh, it's good sometimes to share your testimony to yourself. You know, we talk about testifying to other people. Sometimes you need to sit down and remind yourself where God found you, where he brought you from, where he delivered you from. Come on, somebody. You need to think back till you just start crying tears of joy about the night he filled you with the Holy Ghost, about the time you were baptized in his name. You need to just start remembering where God brought you from. You need to testify to yourself sometimes. Paul was quick to remind the saints of God of where they came from. I read this scripture so much, I guess people think it's the only thing I preach from, but 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 says, don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And he starts laying it down, plain talk. Don't be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. That's who you were. But you are washed. You are sanctified. And you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It's time to stop holding hands with your past. You need to throw the photo album of your history away. You need to separate. Quit looking back with fondness on where God brought you from. And remember, that was a shameful time in our lives. I heard my wife say something like this the other day. She said, we got to stop romanticizing our past. We got to, like, looking back, like, with some kind of fondness. I'm not saying you didn't have people that you cared about or things like that. But, friend, he wouldn't have delivered us if we didn't need delivering. If it was okay to stay back there, then why did he shed his blood? But he said, now you're washed. You've been washed from those things. You've been washed from addiction. You've been washed from idolatry. You've been washed from rebellion. You've been washed from all these things. And now you are washed. You are justified and sanctified in the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let me tell you, that's something. What a stamp of approval on your life to say you've been washed in His name, justified in His name, and filled with the Spirit of the Almighty God. I don't know what people are looking for. I don't know what else they're trying to find. I'm not looking for another. I might mess up. I might find myself in hard places, but I've had the ultimate name put on my life. I've had the precious blood of Jesus wash me clean, friend. I've got the Spirit of the living God living inside of me, whereby I cry, Abba, Father. I've been adopted. He's my Father, my Heavenly Father, not just because I say it, because He ordained it by feeling me with the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way to be labeled. All that other stuff kind of shameful, but he said, that's who you were. Don't go looking back to who you were. Things start going wrong. Don't look back and say, I guess all that stuff I did back then, that's why all this has come on me. That stuff's under the blood. It can't touch you no more. You can remember it. People can remember it, but it ain't got no power over you. It can't put a hex and a curse on you and ruin your life. It's over with. That stuff's over with. New creature. Old things are passed away. Guess what? They dead and gone. It's funny. People are scared of graveyards. Ain't going no graveyard. Why? Everybody's dead. You go out to the graveyard at night, it ain't no different than the daytime. They still in the ground. They don't come out of the ground at night. They ain't going to reach up, pop a hand out of the ground and grab you. They ain't no haints out there. Yeah, that's what my wife said, I ain't going anyway. So but you know, it's funny that those kind of places scare. But it's because the world has made it seem like that death has got some kind of lingering. When it's dead, it's gone and it's buried. And when you're buried with Him in that water in the name and the blood washes that sin away, you're walked up to walk in the newness of life. He didn't say you're going to be trailing it with you. Come on. When you step out, it stays in. And you just keep on walking in the newness of life. You keep going in the right direction. Listen, the Bible says in Philippians 1:6 that He, being confident. Confident. I think that the saints have lost confidence in who they are. And in that, they've forgotten who He is. Being confident of this very thing. Let me tell you, there's something I know. That I ain't who I used to be. I can tell you right now, I ain't who I used to be. I've had people talk about this, that, or the other, and I said, well, you know, all I can tell you is I'm not the same as I was. Well, what happened? I was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. What's that mean? Well, if you got time, I'll tell you. But it's like, I'm not the same, and I'm confident of this. There were times early on in my walk that I struggled in my mind. The memories and things would come back, things that the enemy would accuse. Don't you remember when you did this, that? And then all of a sudden, it was like the Spirit of the Lord said, yeah, but that was buried in the blood. And I just laugh and keep walking. I just keep on talking, devil, because I know you want to accuse me. I know you want to try to confuse me. I know you want to try to contradict me. But I'm telling you that Jesus has justified me. He has washed me and He has filled me. And I know who I am and I'm confident. The guy in the scripture that was born blind, when he got his healing, they couldn't get with it. All the religious people was like, uh-uh. This man's a sinner. He said, well, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. He said, here's what I know. I was blind, and now I see, and it was because of Jesus. So I'm very early on in this stage, but a miracle has happened. Ain't nobody leading me by the hand no more. He told me to put mud. He put mud on my eyes, said, go wash. I did. I can see. So all I can tell you is my whole life I had seen nothing but darkness. And now I can see your ugly face telling me that nothing really happened. When you know, hang on to that. Well, then the guy said, now you were blind. Yeah, but I ain't no more. But I was blind. I was blind. But when he come, even Jesus said, he said, go remind John that blinded eyes are open. It's testifying of who I am. When you can remember what he did. Do you know that opening of blinded eyes, that only Jesus could do that? That no prophet in the Old Testament ever opened blinded eyes. No miracle worker anywhere until he came, because the prophet wrote it, said that when your God comes to save you, then blinded eyes will be opened. Deaf will begin to hear and the lame will begin to live. It was reserved for Jesus to testify of who he was. And so when he said, Jesus did this, that's all the only answer he could have. Because that miracle was reserved for Jesus alone. What Jesus did in your life, just tell people, you may not believe it, but I'm not the same as I was. I remember the night I was baptized in his name, and I remember showing up at work the next day and blowing people's mind. Still looked the same, yeah, but I didn't talk the same. I didn't act the same. I wasn't carrying on like I did before. Man, I was trying to tell people about getting baptized. I didn't even know enough scripture to put on a sheet of notebook paper and on a post-it note. That's about how much scripture I knew. But I did know this, that God had spoke to me and that I had obeyed the scripture. And I went down in that water. When Brother Eberhardt buried me in that water and brought me up, I felt like I was a newborn. I felt like life was new. I saw things differently. I heard things differently. I felt different. And nobody could tell me nothing that night, because I knew I'm not the same anymore. Praise God. Aren't you glad that Jesus can do such a work in your life? Praise God. Remember who you are. In 1 Peter 4:12, he said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Just let that sit there a minute. Again, beloved, saints, children, beloved, don't think it strange concerning this trial you're going through, like some strange thing happened. If anybody could testify to that, it was him. He had openly declared, I will never, ever deny you. I will die with you. Will you, Peter? Yes, I will. Everybody else might leave, but not me. I mean, he made a show of it. But Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. So don't think it's strange, because God already knew what was coming. But that didn't change the love he had for Peter. I prayed for him that his faith won't fail. Don't let this denial sift him out. Don't let this denial drag him away. Don't let the trial you're going. He said, don't think it's strange, because God sees it all. It's not like all of a sudden the enemy got a sneak attack in on you and slip past God and now he's got you. The enemy ain't got no hold on you. Hello? He don't have any hold on you. You're not his anymore. When you're filled with his spirit, you're adopted in his body. You are his. Without the spirit of Christ, we're none of his. But when the Holy Ghost moves in, we're his. And he can't have you when you're his. He can tempt you. He can attack you. But he can't have you. And when I remember who I am, I don't have to think it's strange. Man, this is weird. You know, it'd be like, John, well, this is weird. I've been preaching and telling people about the Lamb of God, and here I am in prison. And Jesus had to remind him, you called it right. I am the Christ. You were looking at the right one. This is just part of your journey. Sometimes those trials and tests, that's just part of our journey. Hey, anybody can just float in a boat on smooth water. But if you want to be an experienced sailor, you're going to have to endure some storms. You're going to have to endure some things. And so whatever you're going through, God's got a reason and a purpose for it. And he said, but don't worry. God's faithful. And with every temptation, he will make a way of escape that you are able to bear it. God's going to come through. But do not give up. Just keep trusting God. Doing right can land you in places you'd rather not be, but that doesn't change who you are. You're his. Think about Daniel praying three times a day. Where'd that get him? Den of lions. God had it all in control. He came out and promoted him. Three Hebrew boys that would not bow down and worship that golden idol that the king had made. They would not do it. We're not going to do it. Where'd they end up? Fiery furnace. But guess what? One like the Son of God was walking around in the fire with them, and the king called them. The king that threw them in was the king that called them out and said, promote them. There ain't no God that can deliver like their God. Let me tell you, you stay solid in your fiery trial. It's going to show people. It's going to give people an idea about the identity of who you serve. When the king come to call Daniel out, he said, oh, Daniel, is the God that you serve able to keep you? He knew, since you're a servant of God, he knew that he was a servant of the Most High God. Paul, Silas, find themselves bound up, innermost prison, stripes on their back, just singing and praising because the stripes didn't change who he was, and the stripes don't change who we are, and he's still worthy of all the glory. And friend, because they begin to sing, give praise, earthquakes and doors flying open, chains falling off, wounds getting tended to. God will tend to your wounds. He'll take care of what's hurt you. He'll begin to heal you. He's not going to just leave you there to suffer. And then you'll keep on doing. And the jailer was and his whole family were baptized that night. Praise God. They were still fulfilling the purpose. And even John the Baptist. Jesus said in the sixth verse of our opening text, he said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Don't get offended at God because of what you're going through. The word offended there means displeased. Don't get displeased with God. Don't doubt him. It also means to be apostate. You definitely don't want to fall that far. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt your walk. Don't doubt who God has made you. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord and I change not, and therefore you're not consumed. He doesn't change. He doesn't change, and he don't change his mind about who you are. He loves you and gave himself for you. So keep trusting him. Keep believing in him. I am the Lord. I change not. God don't change. He's a keeper. He keeps his people. He holds on to his people. He makes sure that they have everything they need. And I know I'm getting close to time, so I want to hurry right here. Romans chapter 8. What a chapter. Man, for Paul just encouraging us that God's going to keep us. But in Romans 8 in verse 24, it says, for we are saved by hope. Don't lose hope. We're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? So you can't always see the answer right away. But hope is what makes it you know and stand saying there is an answer. There is deliverance. There is a way. I don't understand why, but there is a why. I get it. Something's going to have, God is working it for me. So in verse 24 and then 25, it says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And patience can have her perfect work. So we do with patience wait for it. In verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you still love him? Do you still love him? I know him. I read about him. I talk to him, but do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love the Lord? Because when we love God, all things work together for our good to them that are called according to his purpose. And then in verse 31, what shall we then say to these things that come against us? I'll tell you, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Sometimes those things are deliverance, salvation, hope, strength, healing, deliverance. He gives that to us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Pulling for you. Look who's on your side. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. The bride is accounted as sheep for the slaughter. The bride, the jewels that he's making up are killed daily, all the day long. It's always something on the hunt for us. There's a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. But he said, nay, no, sir. In all these things, we, the church, the bride, the persecuted, those that are suffering, those that are struggling, are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Yeah, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. In all those things, more than conquerors. Oh, if somebody could have just told John, I know the order just came in and they're coming to take you away to take off your head, but you are more than a conqueror. Because brother, when he closed his eyes in this life, he opened them up to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He opened up to the words, well done, good and faithful servant. For I got a persuasion. How many still got that persuasion? How many still believes it? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nothing I'm going through right now, nor things to come, or nothing that I will face, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, nor height, nor depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Woo! As long as I don't forget who I am and whose I am, I'm not going to forget him. It's very important. We put a lot of emphasis on remembering who he is. But there's a lot of folks that have backslid away from their purpose that can remember who he is. They just can't remember who they are. But it was when the prodigal son said, in my father's house, I've got to go back. He wanted to go back as a servant. That didn't get him restoration. But when he said, oh no, you are my son. When he reminded him of his identity, he could go into the feast. He could accept the restoration. I'm not putting a best robe on a servant. I'm putting it on my son. I'm not putting shoes on the feet of a servant. They're going on my son. These belong to the son. And he reminded him, no matter where you've been, what you've been through, it doesn't change who you are to me. You were dead and now you're alive. You were lost and now you're found. And honey, come on back into the household. Let's.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.